Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burden. Thanks so much for tuning into our EN channel. And as always, I got news for you. God's got a word for you. God has got a word for you. In fact, He's got a special word for you today. I'm so excited to introduce to you our guest speaker. Her name is Anne Marie Prater. She's actually the better half of Pastor Shino Prater, who helped us found this church, Every Nation, New Jersey. She's currently the women's ministry leader at our church in Manhattan. And as well, she's been an enormous gift to me as the New York Jets chaplain. She's actually shepherding the New York Jets players' wives and coaches, leads them in a weekly Bible study. And so she's been an enormous gift to me and to the New York Jets. And so, so grateful. And I know you're going to enjoy her message as we continue our series, our Advent series, as she talks about the Advent of joy. Enjoy the talk.
Thank you, PA, for that introduction. It really is a joy to work alongside PA and Shino with the New York Jets. And it's always good to be with family. And this time, you guys, you get a different Prater. And with that different Prater comes a different question. And this question is, did you know that Joy to the World was not written as a Christmas carol? I know. I didn't know that till today. In its original form, it had nothing to do with Christmas. It wasn't even written to be a song. It was a man by the name of Isaac Watts, who is one of the greatest hymn writers of his time, that wrote a book. He published a book in 1719, a book of poems. And there was one specific poem that he wrote that was based off of Psalm 98. Can you guess it? It's Joy to the World. Joy of the World. It's one of the most famous hymns ever written till today. And actually, it was written by accident. He wrote this hymn on accident. And Watts interpreted this psalm as a celebration of Jesus's role as king of both his church and the whole world. And more than a century later, a second half of this poem was slightly adapted to music, as we do today, to give us what has become one of the most famous of all Christmas carols today. And Watts claims that in Psalm 98, verse 4, this is what gripped him. And it reads this: make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into a joyous song and sing praises. And this is exactly what Watts did. That little did he know that this song would spark a joyful noise that would ring through the ages of today. It's one of my favorite Christmas carols today. And now I know that it was also written as a hymn on accident. But while Joy to the World is primarily sung on Christmas, it's actually not about the incarnation. It's about the second coming of Christ. Because maybe you know or you don't know that there is a tension of the Advent season, that we're celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also that he will return again. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you that we can enter into this Advent season with you as the focus. Lord, you are the reason for this season. And God, I pray that, Father, that these words that come out of my mouth be yours, and may you be glorified in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we continue with this Advent season, the term Advent actually originates from a Latin root meaning arrival or coming. We wait, we anticipate that God is going to do just what he said he's going to do, just as much as we remember all that God has done. And Pastor Adam has walked you through these last 2 weeks on the Advent of hope and peace. But today we turn to another one of God's beautiful gifts to us, and that is joy. It's a third Advent candle that's pink and it represents joy. It's also known as the shepherd's candle, which we'll get to here in a minute. But because it was joy that filled the hearts of the shepherds who received the good news of Jesus's birth from the angels. And it was the joy and the excitement of the world as it receives its long-awaited Messiah. But before we dive in, I think we need to understand what the true meaning of joy is, biblical joy, because sometimes we often treat joy like it's happiness. And there's a big difference because happiness comes from good circumstances, but it is far beyond momentary happiness because happiness in essence is based on what's happening. For example, the happiness our kids might experience when they get the gift on Christmas Day that they've been hoping for. Or maybe it's something that we feel when life is going well. Maybe it's when we receive good news, when we accomplish a goal, or we buy a new thing, hence where we get shopping therapy from, or a vacation. But how many of us know that when joy is tied to our circumstances, that it quickly fades as soon as the situation changes? That vacation eventually comes to an end. That new thing eventually becomes old. And that when those circumstances change and shift, we realize that kind of joy slips away too, don't we? I know I'm guilty of that. I buy something new, I'm excited, I could be having a bad day. It gives me that joy and happiness for the moment. And then afterwards, I'm like, I still feel a certain type of way. But Merriam-Webster defines joy as a feeling of great happiness or pleasure. It's an expression or exhibition of such emotions. For example, like PA, he mentioned that he gets a certain type of way and feelings when he watches the Hallmark Christmas shows that he loves to tune in because his daughters are watching it. I'm just kidding, PA. No one is judging you here. It is very wholesome. Or it's a state of great happiness. It's a source of cause of delight, such as relationships, money, houses, clothes, and even open doors of opportunity. We can search for happiness in many different places. Yet while those things can bring a degree of excitement for a period of time, only one thing can give us true joy and satisfaction, and that's God. Psalm 16:11 says that you will show me the path of life, that in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I love that because it's the kind of joy that the world can't give. The world can't give you the joy that's everlasting that our Heavenly Father can give us. It can only from God and to God for all that He has done, everything. And the Greek word for joy is chara, C-H-A-R-A, chara. It's deep joy and gladness. It means to rejoice exceedingly. It's an eager anticipation of wonderful things to come. It's the shepherds that experienced this as they ran to Bethlehem to see baby Jesus. It's similar to the joy of a friend's presence that brings good news or that comes during our good and our bad days. We experience joy as God walks with us through the ups and downs of life, life's positive and painful circumstances. And it's a type of joy that's unspeakable, joy unspeakable. It's the type of joy that comes from God alone. And throughout the Bible, joy is expressed in numerous ways, both when God delivers them from situations, from oppression, and in the middle of exile, persecution, and pain, and even in the most unusual ways and places with some of the most ordinary people, that there's still joy. If you have your Bibles, you can meet me in Luke 2, 1 through 20. And it reads this. I'll be reading out of NIV. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius, imagine having that name, it's very mighty, Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, in Judea, or to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Quirinius was the governor of Syria. It was a reminder that Jewish people were still under the Roman law during this time. And Joseph was required to participate to register for the census that led him and Mary to travel to the small town during the last few months of her pregnancy. And FYI, the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem was about 80 miles. Mind you, there were no cars, there were no bicycles, there were no public transportation, no buses or trains. And so, ladies, if you can imagine this, that you're pregnant, you're about to give birth, that some say she was riding a donkey, some say she was walking, some say it was both. Scripture doesn't really say. But I find myself wondering, I really don't know how joyful I would be going on this trek in this journey, 80 miles, that some say are a three-day journey. Not quite sure, but I really don't know how joyful I'd be. But Mary here, she's on her way to the manger. And in the meantime, there were these shepherds that were out in the field in the same region. And these shepherds were watching their flock at night. I love this because the shepherds play a significant role in this story because they were generally considered among the lowest social classes in the first century Palestine. Imagine the lowest of the lows. They were despised men. They were considered untrustworthy. And the work that they did made them ceremonially unclean. And because of that, they were not allowed to enter into the temple. Basically, they're the least likely people to receive such a glorious announcement. They were outcasts. But God, he chose these very shepherds to hear this announcement versus the elite or the prominent religious leaders or the rulers in Jerusalem, as one would expect. But God chose these men, which brings me to my first point, is that joy in the ordinary. Joy in the ordinary. I love that Luke recorded the very first people to receive and hear the good news that the shepherds were the chosen ones. These shepherds that were going on about what seemed like an ordinary day, minding their own business, tending their flock, and yet they were the very first ones to get the invitation to the birthday party ever of the long-awaited Messiah. I find that so cool. It's a small detail that I have missed countless of times that I have read this story. But perhaps, maybe for you, you could be thinking that, you know, you're just going along your day. It's another ordinary work day. You could be tending to your family. You could be working at your job or pursuing your passion, or you could be rising up early to get on a prayer call. While all those things may seem ordinary to you, they are not to God. They're extraordinary to God. Luke 16:10 says, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful with much. And these shepherds were very faithful to what they were doing, that God entrusted them with this good news. God shows up to these men as they stay present in their calling, not abandoning responsibilities or something fancier or better. Can you imagine that if one of those shepherds decided that one night, you know what? I'm not going to show up to work today. I'm over this. I am tired of this messy work. I'm going to call quits and I'm going to do my own thing. And if that shepherd didn't show up that night, he would have missed what God was doing. He would have missed out on the good news. And that is why these shepherds are very significant in the story. Because sometimes for us, we're so easy to call quits. We have all the excuses in the world to call quits. We despise where God has us when it's always for a very reason. And in the shepherd's case, it was a very good reason to bring good news that will cause great joy, not just for them. It says in scripture, for all the people. And that is huge. And my prayer for us today is that we may not look past the ordinary, to not overlook the ordinary, that for God's joy often brings where we least expect it. And that matters because the moment that God interrupted their ordinary, something happened next. God's presence didn't just show up in their routine. He showed up in a way that shook them. Which brings me to my second point, joy in the midst of fear. Joy in the midst of fear. Luke 2:9 says that an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. As PA says, that most people, when they think of angels, they think of a fat baby wearing diapers. But when you see this angel, you will need a diaper. I promise you that. But here, in all seriousness, the shepherds weren't scared. They weren't scared of something imaginary. They were responding to the overwhelming presence of the Lord. That's a healthy fear, right? It's that awe. It's that reverence. It's the weight of God's glory. But how many of us know that there's also a fear that's unhealthy? It's the kind of fear that grips you, that paralyzes you. It's the one that steals our joy. And sometimes that fear comes from pain. There's an organization that's called Consider the Lily. Maybe you heard of it if you attended one of our women's events this past September. But through this ministry, there's these young girls, some as young as 5 in the Philippines, that were sexually abused and exploited in the most unimaginary ways. And these girls are rescued and brought into a place of healing. It's a home of healing. And these children were marked by fear. Their fear of adults, their fear of the future, fear of leaving the only home that they knew, even if it caused them pain, even if it was the source of their pain. But here is the beautiful part, that little did they know that these little girls had no idea that when they stepped out of that fearful place, that God was leading them to a place that was God-loving. It was God-fearing, a God-fearing, loving home. A home full of safety and restoration and full of joy. Shino and I had the opportunity to visit these girls and their home in the Philippines this past summer. And I can tell you with my own eyes and witnessing that these girls were full of laughter. They were full of joy. One of them came up to me and like tugged my shirt and said, "Do you know what my favorite day of the week is? It's Friday. We get to worship God. I love God." And she just had joy written all over her face. True joy. It's true joy where the joy of the Lord is their strength. And their strength that was beautifully shown in their ordinary everyday lives. I love this because in Psalm 35, it says, "Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." Joy is also associated with rejoicing. They were rejoicing in the Lord because their joy was God. Their joy of the Lord is their strength. And when I was first introduced to Consider the Lily, I was in the lowest of my lows. This may have been during 2020, during COVID era. I hope a lot of you guys forgot about that already. But It was one of my own ordinary days. And all of a sudden, there makes a connection. There was a connection that was made with Consider the Lily. Josie Long at the time, now Josie Gardner. We meet over an email. We start making connections. We start fostering a relationship. And over time, trust was built. And then we started serving from here in the U.S. And now, today, Shino and I have the honor to serve as one of their board members that Consider the Lily. And I love that God, he meets us in our ordinary. God not only met those girls in the ordinary, but he also met me in my ordinary. And it brought so much joy to me. God also meets us in our fear. And here's the thing about the joy that only God can bring is that it never leaves you where it found you. It's the shepherds. The shepherds didn't stay in fear. The shepherds didn't just stay in the field, but it was the joy of the Lord that moved them. Which brings me to my third point, is that joy in action. Joy in action. Luke 2:15 says that when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." God's joy will cause us to do something. It will cause us to move. It will cause us to get up out of our seats and do something. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." These shepherds couldn't wait to go and see Jesus for themselves. They were rejoicing with excitement. They had to respond. And it's the same with us today, that when you have tasted and seen that the joy of the Lord is good, something in you perks up. Something in you moves. When Shino and I were living in Booton, New Jersey, we used to sit on our brown couch with the green blankets, watch our shows, and then a Wendy's commercial comes on and you get that, what was it, $5 for $2 deal or whatever it was. And it caused Shino great joy to get up and move and go get that thing. I don't know if it really brought me joy because I'm not a big fan of Wendy's, but it brought Shino so much joy that caused him to move. But in all seriousness, that there's joy that leads us to obedience. Joy leads us to movement. Joy leads us to worship. And joy leads us to Jesus. But here's the greatest joy of all. Joy doesn't just come from what God shows us. Joy comes from what God has done for us. My point number four is joy in the good news. Luke 2:10 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" This message wasn't just an announcement. It was the good news for what God has or God was about to do, but it was also good news for the outcasts and for the shepherds, for sinners like us. Years later, Jesus said that he has come to seek and save the lost. This is the good news of great joy. Not that we become good, not that we become clean, not that we become impressive people. No, it's that God sent a savior for people. People who aren't good and clean, people who are sinners, the outcasts. Because unlike Santa Claus, who's keeping a list and tallies of who's naughty or nice, God doesn't save us based on performance. He saves us based on grace. This is the good news of great joy. You don't have to be someone special to receive the most special news. You don't have to be seen by everyone to be treasured by God, because it's about what God has done for us, nothing that we have done in our own efforts. Jesus is the good shepherd who laid his life down for his sheep. And this is why we can sing joy to the world today. It's because it's all about the fulfillment of what Christ has done, what he has done to do in the very first place, to fully establish his victorious dominion over the created world in the righteous and equity. It's a joyful anticipation of God's coming by singing to the Lord a new song for all the marvelous and wonderful things that he has done, and because he has displayed his gracious and faithful pursuit of intimacy with humanity. I'm going to end with Psalm 98. That was based off what joy of the Lord was from. Psalm 98, 1-4. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation, and he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Lord. Let us rejoice in the Lord always and take joy in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2-9. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for this gift of joy, God, that you cared so much about us, that, Lord, you brought your Son, God, to be the joy, to be the good news for all people. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that this Advent season, God, we wouldn't focus about our circumstances or the things, what's underneath the tree, but God, we could focus on the ultimate gift, God, of what you have done for us, Lord. God, we thank you and we praise you, Father, that we can celebrate and sing joy to the Lord for all the people. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.